Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're asking the question, why vote? Our election's coming up for our primary on the 21st of March. We're just a few weeks away from that date. And I think it is imperative we know a little more about our candidates as they're running to represent us in the various offices. We have with us today Danny Becton. Danny Becton is the conservative candidate for Duval County Property Tax Appraiser. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with a question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I'd like to ask Danny a question, if I may.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Danny, I live out on the west side, out near the White House Auxiliary Field, and I have about 8 acres of land, and it used to be absolute paradise. You would hear the birds chirping, and it was just wonderful. The council passed a resolution allowing a dump to be built. Well, the dump shares my property line. We both share the same property line. So now at 5:30 in the morning, that's right, 5:30 in the morning, we're greeted, even on a Saturday morning, by boom-de-bam-bam, boom-bam-boom. Big trucks running over a rough road, and they're dumping. And on real still mornings, like you get up on a Saturday morning, which used to be great, but on a summer morning when it's really hot and the breeze isn't blowing, it's a stench. So paradise has went to I live in hell. And it was going to be my retirement. I'm 76 years old, and I thought, well, I'll sell it for a good price and buy me a little small condo or a little small price. But I contacted a realtor, and she said, Tom, I'm sorry, but says I can't sell that for you. I don't know who you'd sell that to. What should I do?
Is that your question?
Yeah, well, yeah. Certainly that dump was approved decades ago. And in understanding the relationship that you have with that asset of the city's, and you got to find a real estate agent that has a little bit more optimistic viewpoint, and certainly can help you position the property for the use that could be very accommodating. There's a lot of uses out there that can't be done in places where they're up against residential neighborhoods and where they do have conflicts for things that you are able to provide that they would be able to overcome. So you might just have to look at it a little differently and start talk with your district city council representative and talk about what's needed in the county, and use your imagination and make the best use of the property that you can find.
Well, Danny, you really haven't answered my question. Contacted the city councilman, but he had one contributor who basically bought him off. So anybody else that went to him, he just blew you off. So, and I had the finest realtor probably around Watson, and they were really cordial and kind to me, but they said, you know, maybe you could sell it to the landfill. It's not an asset of the city. It's privately owned. And I contacted them, but they have property around it, which touches me kind of as a buffer. They don't need any more. So shouldn't the city, if you were the property appraiser, would you take that into consideration and lower my property taxes?
Well, the property appraiser certainly doesn't have any legislative decision-making powers to deal with issues of rezonings and land use. But what the property appraiser does is value your property based on what you can resell it as. And if your value, and if your property is overvalued, which you should actually look at, one of the things that I've been serving on is the Value Adjustment Board for five of my 8 years. I chaired it 1 year, and that is a board for which hears appeals, whether it's residential or commercial, where property owners can go to the property appraiser, and they can certainly bring evidence and say, this, you know, here's what my property is valued on the books. Here's what I think it should be valued if there's a disparity. And the property appraiser will work with you to come up with a fair and accurate valuation based on that evidence. And if you still disagree with the property appraiser, there's a process where you can sit down and have your day in court, so to speak, where a magistrate, which is a mediator, gets involved, hears both the property appraiser's position, hears your position, and comes up with a decision. And if for whatever reason you still don't like that decision, you have the Value Adjustment Board to hear the appeal as well. So there is a great process that if you're a property owner, that you have to be able to make sure that your property value is fair and accurate, because you shouldn't be paying any more taxes based on the value of that property than you know you should. So right. Hopefully, while I don't have a specific answer to your question, because we're sitting here having a very generic conversation, but those are the avenues that you can certainly travel down to hopefully get the answers that you're looking for.
That sounds good.
All right.
Tom, thank you so much for your call. I hope that was a good round answer for you. And maybe that will be, how would we put it, Danny, your first customer.
Yeah. Well, and also, Dr. Youngblood, let me add to Tom's question. As he looked at how his property is currently being used, but might be used in the future to maybe provide a better use for that property, he might look at changing the land use. He might look at rezoning the property based on land use. Those are things that happen every day across our city. Mm-hmm. There's residential properties that become industrial properties or commercial properties, but it's a best use based on the situation that exists for that property.
Good rationale as to value based on the landfill. That would be a good input for zoning on it. That would be good.
Absolutely, and I think he should look at that. And just because what he does today may not be the best and best use for the future.
And
it might even increase his property if he could find what that
best use would be.
That use is
absolutely
to be.
Tom, thank you so much for your call today. God bless you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Have a blessed day. Danny, I'm thankful for you and for your respect for the person to give a good, solid answer, as I believe you just gave. Danny, I believe there correct me if I'm wrong, there are two other opponents that's running for this office. Without calling their names, tell me why you think you're more qualified than they are.
Dr. Youngblood, that's a great question. And I really think as the voters evaluate this position, there's three things that they should consider. And certainly having a good conservative candidate. Also finding someone that has experience and leadership skills that makes them well qualified to be the next CEO of this department. And third, competency. Competency to be able to do the job.
Yes.
We see in a lot of positions, whether it's in our federal government, local government, where sometimes we just shake our head and go, how did that person...
Transportation Secretary is a good example.
We were talking about that earlier, Transportation
right.
Secretary, where the planes didn't fly one day
right.
and they're out there burning a train and the chemicals in it to produce a very toxic end result that is killing animals and certainly doing all kinds of damage. And
and
you just shake your head sometime and go, who's making these decisions and what is the basis for it? But let's talk about the first one, conservatism. I have been, as you have pointed out several times today, a leading conservative on city
Amen.
Council.
I will second that motion.
You know, being one of only six members back in the early days voting against the human rights ordinance,
mm-hmm. Right. You stood with us.
Not taking rights away from one group to give special rights to another group,
yes.
And I think that's important. But also voting against tax increases. I voted against the gas tax. I voted against things like Lot J, which only was denied by one vote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because I didn't like what they were trying to do in Lot J, but they were asking for something that had never really, in my tenure, I've seen anyone ask, and that is for the city to write a check before the developer did.
Mm-hmm.
And that check was going to be about $200 million. And we were immediately going to have to borrow that money. And by paying it back over a period of time, we were looking at an expense that was going to be upward to about $300 million for the taxpayers. What I've supported for deals like this have been REV grants, where the developer builds whatever that is they're planning, and then they're given a tax credit based on the property future property taxes that they pay. But that wasn't the way what this deal was about. So I had to vote against it, and certainly that was very difficult because
yes.
you never want to stop progress or stop things that you think could have a positive. But also I had to vote against the budget this year.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time in city history, we had the largest revenue that I think the city's ever seen of about $132 million from this year to last year. I think I filed the first resolution before the mayor started working on the budget that requested the mayor to just consider rolling back property taxes, because in talking with a property appraiser, I saw this big historic number in city budget coming in the next few months. And so I thought the taxpayer deserved part of the benefit,
the revenue,
getting some of their dollars back. And unfortunately I only could get three or four of my fellow council members to side with me. But when the budget came, the mayor did produce a 1/8 of a mil cut, which I like to take partial credit for.
Amen.
But unfortunately, I only saw that I felt like it was only going to fill up a tank of gas for each taxpayer out there. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to see something more, like a half a mil at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to vote against the budget. So as a conservative, I've been a leading conservative experience. I've talked about that 40-year career, semi-retired, 28 years as a business owner. I've managed people, payrolls, budgets in operations of a company. And I just think that's important. And I bet your listeners think that's important too.
Absolutely. If I could jump in for just a moment, as I understand, the two contenders for this seat, this position, I don't believe either one of them's ever signed the front side of a check.
You know, I think every voter should always go and do their homework on each candidate.
That's what I'm saying.
And so I haven't seen evidence of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once again, being focused on who I am and what I bring to the party, I certainly share with your listeners out there my resume and why I think I'm unquestionably the most qualified for this position, and also support that the current property appraiser, Jerry Holland, who's done a fantastic job,
yes, he has. Mm-hmm.
Has endorsed me, mm-hmm. to follow in his footsteps based on that experience and those qualifications that he thinks are second to none. And I'm honored to have that endorsement.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, I'm thankful for that. In fact, I can speak from the standpoint of knowing Jerry for the years that I have. He's done a superb job, and you'd be the ideal one to step right into those shoes, I think.
Yep. And the third thing that I was talking about, competency. Mm-hmm. This is a very technology-oriented department.
Yes.
And I've been an IT professional for over 30 years. And I think that's going to be very helpful. This department, Jerry, has been delaying to the next term a major software upgrade of the department, their CAMA system, which does all of it helps the appraisers do all of their work and so forth. It's over 20 years old. It needs to be replaced. It's at the end of his life. Mm-hmm. And that's something that got me excited, because that's what I did for a living. I designed, implemented, and helped do system integrations, not only within my own company, with some of the top retailers around the country. And so that, in addition to carrying on a program that Jerry has been looking to reduce fraud and abuse, mm-hmm. with council support, he's been able to put $60 million of taxable value back on the city's bucks. Amen. That was being overlooked, and that translated to about $18 million, and that work has not been completed. We always want to make sure and certainly educate our taxpayers out there, our property owners, that absolutely. They should only be claiming one homestead.
Mm-hmm. Not two or three.
One homestead in Georgia and one homestead in Florida is still two homesteads.
Two homesteads, that's right.
And you only can have one. And mm-hmm. there's ways that you can use business partners out there, and Jerry's been doing that with council support, to look at property owners and across the country and mm-hmm. at perhaps where they might not have that yeah. one. They might be using multiple homesteads.
Hold your thoughts for just a moment, Danny. I believe we have Jose on the line.
Okay.
Jose, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
I just get a simple question. Let's say that you own a house in Florida and you own another house in North Carolina. Why that person cannot have two tax exemptions when it's provided by each state? Is there any bad thing about it? That's my question. And my other comment is, it would be nice to have somebody equipped and qualified like the person you got there as a guest. For the light of me, there's an idiot, there's a Spanish-speaking Latino, unfortunately, Becerra, that he's in charge of this, one of the health department. That guy is not even a nurse or a doctor. He's running millions into a medical nationwide. How can they get away with that? Because if we're going to need somebody in for the Olympics, we expect somebody that has some sport background. If you want somebody in economy, you know, you want somebody, you know, with an economy background, how can they get away with so much craziness and somebody that is so unqualified like this guy, Becerra, and he is supporting bushing those minors into transgenders? And my question is, like I said to you at the beginning, why is he bad about it? Each state allowed that to happen, and people are using that is given by each state. Why is he so bad about it? I mean, each state, you know, they don't have two houses in Florida. They got one here in Florida, say the other one in Tennessee. And I'll be listening for your explanation. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Jose, for that question. Danny,
yeah, Jose, great question, and it's really got a simple answer. You only can elect one homestead, because in any place that allows this homestead, it has to be your primary living residence. And there is a time length that that you have to, that you measure to say, okay, I spend 60% of my time in Florida and I only spend 40% of my time in North Carolina. Well, the majority of your life is spent in Florida, and that's the homestead that you can only declare. So you can't live, if you live places, I guess, 50-50, you still have to figure out which one is 50 plus one in order to allow you to do that homestead. So that's just the rules to homesteading. And if you rent out your property, that certainly changes things in terms of how that property is looked at. But yes, you can only have one homestead, and it's where your primary time is spent living yes. during the year.
Danny, thank you for that. By the way, just as a little parenthetical footnote on that statement, Jose was talking about qualified for a position. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly the reason I'm saying that Danny Becton should be our next property appraiser for Duval County. The qualifications are immense. The responsibility is major. And I believe we need people in positions, whether it's city, state, or national, that qualify for the position. This is the reason in the God's election guide in Exodus 18:21 says able men. That means they have the capability and the competence to carry out the task. And I believe Danny Becton is that man. That telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're out of the state, if you're online, it's 904-831-0917. Danny, I'm thankful that you're here. One of the things that we're talking about, too, is do you believe that based on your technology background, your background in real estate, your background in the areas of competence that you have, that you believe that that qualifies you for this position immensely? Let me then, before I ask the question further, I believe there's about, 100, 110 people in that department
yeah.
and about a $10 to $12 million budget. And as such, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that Danny Becton is the one that has been there, done that, bought the T-shirt as far as the qualifications. Danny, speak to that issue again a little more deeply in relationship to qualifications. Jose was concerned about that because across the nation we're watching the president of America appoint people in positions where they're not qualified. And with the other candidate that's running and against you, running for this same seat, I believe we need qualifications to be top, number one, qualifications of capability, background, ability. Would you want to speak further on that and elaborate, then go into any other part of the conversation that you believe would be beneficial for our listeners?
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Everyone's always concerned about folks that get into government and they go from one job to another. So as a business owner, I mentioned earlier that I found a calling of serving my community, and I did that on my homeowner association board for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And that naturally progressed me to looking at representing my community. I've only done that for 8 years. It's a small experience in a 40 plus year career in the private sector.
Right.
And I totally agree with term limits. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to allow someone to step into my shoes and represent District 11, and I'm excited about that. But I'm also looking at, I've got a lot of years left to give back. I'm only 60 years old.
That's young.
You know, 61 next month, 61. My wife would remind you. So the nice thing is that in my life right now, I do things because I want to, mm-hmm. not because I have to.
Good.
And I think that's important. And part of my experience in all those years is right now I'm a commercial and a residential property owner. And that's important because commercial evaluations and residential evaluations are completely different. Mm-hmm. Commercial evaluations are a lot more complex. They just don't go look at appraisals. They look at income producing properties differently. And that certainly gives me a unique ability to understand the role of the property appraiser on both sides, because there's two divisions within the property appraiser. There's residential, commercial, and then actually three, because there's also TPP, tangible personal property tax,
right,
where businesses actually have to pay taxes on their assets. And there's another area that you have to go out and educate businesses that they should be doing, because that's kind of on the voluntary side of reporting furniture and fixtures, equipment, and those kind of things on an annual basis, mm-hmm, accurately, in paying taxes on them. So I bring that to the table. So with all those years that I have in business, being the 8 years as a city council member, I've had the privilege of being on the finance committee, and chairing and vice chairing it. We reviewed huge budgets, a $1.5 billion budget this year. In addition to the budgets that I had to do as a business owner, I also have served in land use and zoning, mm-hmm, which is actually an area where I kind of became a subject matter expert. And in that role, I'm always almost on a daily basis in the property appraiser system, helping people like Tom that we spoke with earlier, mm-hmm, in understanding the use of their property and maybe the valuation. So I'm always in that system. You know, going back to things that the property appraiser's office is going to need, and that is helping its employees grow.
Yeah.
And also, as this city grows, making sure we're not just growing government by needing more appraisers, but that we're using technology to help us do that job smarter, faster, and more efficiently.
Bingo. That touches on one thing, and our time is about gone, but one final question is, do you feel that, without cutting people necessarily, people being afraid of their jobs, that you would be the person that could reduce the overhead cost for that department to save taxpayers money?
Well, going forward, that's going to be a challenge, because I've been representing the largest growth area of this city, District 11, and parcels are being added to our books, new homes, new businesses every year. That's growing. And so it's going to put some demands on this department to be able to keep up. Remember, having to touch every piece of property in this county every 5 years.
That's an enormous
task. So as an IT professional, there's a lot of tools out there, satellite imagery, the drive-by images that we can see like on Google Maps. All of those assets can be used within software technologies that can compare mm-hmm, what you might have had last year with what currently exists.
Absolutely.
And helping us do a lot of that work
for you
in the house rather than out in the field.
Well, Danny, thank you so much for joining us. Take 1 second. We've got about 5-6 seconds. Tell the people how they can reach you if they've got a question.
Right. So I've got a lot of great information on my website at votedanny.com. A lot of frequently asked questions that I try to give great answers to. And campaign@votedanny.com is my email. And I welcome anybody reaching out and joining the campaign. But obviously, come March 21st is the election day.
Absolutely.
That I need your vote and your support to become the next Duval County
Amen.
Property appraiser.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Students for next semester, ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.